Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter what time you may be listening to the Daily Devotional Podcast here at Eden Chapel. I'm Sam Mitchell, and I am very blessed to be continuing our time in 1 Kings today. Today we're going to be in chapters 8 through 9, and we saw yesterday as the construction of the temple was completed, and we're going to see the ark being brought into the temple today, and we're going to see Solomon bless the Lord and dedicate it to the Lord, and we're just going to see some really powerful words over and over and over again. But ultimately what we're going to see in Solomon's prayer and in his cry is that the Lord is faithful to every promise, that he will keep his covenant. And, you know, a word that we do see multiple times is fulfilled, and like God is faithful to fulfill everything that he says he will do. And like, what an amazing thing that was. And so he talks about that, and we'll get into that here soon. But we see in the very first verse that Solomon assembles the elders of Israel, the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers, the houses of the people of Israel, and he brings them all in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant. And we see what a special moment this is when it's brought in, because we get in verse 10, and when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And so this is a pretty crazy, awesome moment, because we basically see the priests stop with any normal type of service because the glory of God has come in the form of a cloud. And this is, you know, if you can think of everything we've been reading, this is pretty often, right? This is the cloud that stood by Israel in the wilderness in Exodus 13. This is the cloud of glory that God spoke to Israel from in Exodus 16. This is the cloud from which God met with Moses and others multiple times. This is the cloud that stood by the door of the tabernacle in Exodus 33. This is the cloud from which God appeared to the high priest in the holy place inside the veil in Leviticus 16. Like, this is, if you can think how often we've been reading about a cloud where God has been displaying his glory, you know, here it is happening again. And so the priest could not stand to minister anymore, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So like, what an amazing thing this is, because like we said, you know, God will fulfill every promise. And that's what Solomon begins to cry. And that's what he begins to let be known when he blesses the Lord. He said, "Blessed be the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised." And you know, this is the theme that we've been reading over and over again. He's faithful to fulfill every promise. You know, what he had talked about with David, that it was in David's heart to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord had told David, "Where it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you shall build the house for my name." And the Lord fulfilled that promise. That's what he says. He says, "For I have risen in the place of David." And Solomon says this, "My father, and I sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have provided a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." And so this is Solomon in this prayer where he blesses the Lord, saying, "God, you have fulfilled every promise to our forefathers, to Abraham, to Moses when you brought them out of Egypt, time and time again throughout the wilderness. Lord, you were still faithful even when we were not. And here you are faithful once again." And, you know, it's in the showing of the glory of the Lord showing up into the temple. And so Solomon begins this amazing prayer where he cries out to God that there is no one like him. You know, that you have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand and have fulfilled it this day. And so once again, you know, that word fulfillment coming over and over and over again. And he declares these awesome words in verse 27, which are probably my favorite in this chapter, because it tells us how much he truly understands what the temple is supposed to be. Because he says in verse 27, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I've built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers towards this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people of Israel when they pray towards this place, and listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And so he declares something awesome right here, because, you know, you could almost read a little bit too much into it in his earlier verses, you know, that this isn't just a superstitious idea that God's actually going to live in this temple, you know, like he won't be, you know, everywhere else, but he's like, he'll actually be contained to just a temple. But this was just a special presence that God would have in the temple. He's far too great to be restricted to the temple. Like, what an amazing thing that is from our God, that he is just so great and so powerful. And we ultimately see Solomon's, you know, cry and his hope for this temple, that God would incline his ear towards the people of Israel, and when he hears them, that he would forgive. Solomon knows here the ultimate thing, the most important thing that Israel needs is forgiveness, because as we know, they've messed up plenty of times before. They're going to mess up plenty of times ever after. This was the greatest answer to the prayer Israel could expect from God, is forgiveness. And so that's his prayer here as he dedicates this to the Lord. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. So what amazing words that he begins to cry out. And that's what we see him begin to explain in later verses. And he gets into like verse 38, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart and stretching out his hands towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know according to all his ways. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our fathers. And once again, this cry, you know, hear us and forgive us. You know our hearts, and that we pray that you would render and do what is right like only you can. You are good, God. You are the only one who is good. And so we pray that you would do what is right, and you'd render to each whose heart you know, that we would fear you all the days that we live in this land. Then Solomon ends this time in verse 54. It says he finished offering all this prayer and plea to the Lord. He arose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with his hands outstretched towards heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, man, love these words. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. Once again, there's those words. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant. Then the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine with which I have pleaded before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. And so that's what we see, the cry, just once again, Lord, you are faithful, you have fulfilled every promise. May we walk in your statutes and your rules and what you have commanded us. May we keep your commandments, but will you incline our hearts to you, Lord? That's will you draw our hearts to you? Will you pull our hearts to you? Will you make us want you and you alone? And ultimately, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. And so we see that cry. We see the chapter end by all the sacrifices that he gave in this amazing, joyous time. And that's what we see as we end chapter 8. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their homes joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David, his servant, and to Israel, his people. And so we see just a great time in Israel as we end chapter 8. And as we get into chapter 9, we see, the Lord appears to Solomon. It says, appeared to him a second time as he appeared to him at Gibeon. And we see the Lord begin to say, I've heard your prayer and your plea, which what an amazing thing that God hears our prayers and pleas, you know, everything that, you know, he had just been begging for, right? Like, God, hear us, to, like, in this place, as people come to you, will you hear their cries? And so he says, I've consecrated the house that you've built, and I've put my name there forever. And he says, my eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And then he urges Solomon to walk before him as David had walked, have integrity of your heart and uprighteous, do all that I've commanded you, keep the statutes, keep the rules, and I will establish a royal throne over Israel forever. And you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But he says, if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my statutes, do not keep my commands that I've set before you. But if you go off and you serve other gods and you worship them, and it says, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I've given, and the house that I've consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone passing by it will be astonished and will hiss, and they will say, why has the Lord done this to the land and to this house? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this disaster on them. And so, hey, what we really need to know about Scripture is God is good and he is great. And even in his judgment, everything is good and great. And so this every warning, every do not in Scripture is just covered in so much love. It's not holding you back from any other great joy. It's actually holding you back from things that often will destroy you, like worshiping other gods. And so God gives this warning, you know, that and this blessing, right? That the blessing of if you do and you walk in commandments and statutes, then you the royal throne will be over Israel forever, your royal throne. But if you do not, this is what will become. This is what will happen. Then we see the chapter end by telling us about some of Solomon's other acts. And we see that with Hiram, the king of Tyre, that he had actually given up land of Israel, which is not a really good thing, right? But we obviously see what he thinks of that land, considering he's basically calls it worthless and hates it, essentially. And, you know, basically calls it good for nothing. And, you know, out of this, Solomon gets 120 talents of gold. And so then we see this slave labor from the remnant of the Canaanite people and all that comes into that. And then the financing from naval expeditions that brought back gold. And so we see all these other acts that Solomon is doing. But ultimately, today, I just really want to focus in on what we read in chapter 8 and then the blessing and the warning that we get from God to Solomon in chapter 9. And ultimately, we just see how good and faithful our God is to fulfill every promise. And with that in mind, what an amazing thing that we should never depart from that God, right? We should always worship and serve the God who is over all things, who created all things, that no temple can just hold him. But yet he hears the hearts of us. He allows us to cry out to him, and he responds. He hears us. What an amazing thing that is, and what an amazing thing he has blessed us with Scripture and with his word, that we can hear his voice for reading his words. What an amazing thing that is. I hope this has been a blessing to you, friends, and that you have a great rest of your Sunday.